All right, let's open our Bibles to Romans 8. Romans 8. Preparation for the study of God's Word is use of 1 John 1:9 if necessary. Make certain that we're in fellowship with God, so we won't be distracted by the distortions from the sin nature. Human viewpoint, shall we pray? We are thankful for the privilege we have of studying your word. May these truths be valuable to our soul. May we accept them and then use them to adjust to your justice and function in life according to your plan that Jesus would be glorified. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Romans 8:1. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The statement of fact is that there's no condemnation based on a positional factor called in Christ Jesus. The therefore appeals back to information that has already been given by Paul in the first 7 chapters. We looked at 2 of those passages last time. We looked at chapter 2:4-8. Do you think that lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in the good work seek for glory and honor and immortality, they get everlasting life. For those who are out from strife and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, they get wrath and indignation. The next passage we looked at was chapter 3. All we're doing is reviewing from last time. These passages establish the fact that God has provided a salvation that delivers us from judgment. Romans 3:21-26. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being declared or witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. So this is saying that righteousness is for all those who believe. Remember the parentheses, the end of verse 22 to the through verse 23. Verse 24 then explains the basis for verse 22. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, verse 24, by being justified. So that statement, by being justified, explains how we get God's righteousness. It says, by being justified as a gift by his grace. So God does something called justified here that gives us his righteousness. Remember what justified really means? It means to declare or make righteous. It's the very same Greek word as the word righteousness, in, I should say same root, as the word righteousness in verse 22. So it looks like this. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe by being declared righteous. So you believe, and how is God's righteousness given to you? You are declared righteous. Every time you see the word justified, think of it as being made or declared or seen as righteous. Okay, let's go to chapter 4. Of Romans. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 5 and then 22 through 25. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, has found according to the flesh. Notice the change in translation. I go with the margin. Look at the marginal note. You'll see it down at the bottom. Our forefather has found according to the flesh. So the question is, what has Abraham, not Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh. In other words, not our earthly forefather. But what has he found according to the flesh? What has he found with regard to human input, human viewpoint? The answer will be explained in verse 2 by a statement in a conditional clause, for assuming that Abraham was made righteous by works. See the word justified? Remember, made righteous. For assuming that Abraham was made righteous by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. So if I am made righteous because of my works, then I can boast. I can say, hey, look what I've done, and God gave me righteousness. But I can boast before you, but not before God. Because God looks at all my righteousness, which is according to the law, according to works, and what does he look at? What does he think of it? What does he call all righteousness? What? A bunch of filthy rags. So, but you can't tell that. You look at my work and say, hey, well done, good job. God looks at it and it stinks. For assuming that Abraham was justified by works, made righteous by works, he has something to boast about, but certainly not before God. For what does the scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He didn't work for it. He believed. Verse 4. Now to the one who works, the one who places himself in a works system in order to undo the obligation that he owes to God's justice. Every member of the human race has an obligation to God's justice. That obligation is judgment. All members of the human race are born in sin. They all have the sin nature. Because of that presence of the sin nature, God sees everyone as unrighteous. Since God looks at each member of the human race and sees unrighteousness, what must justice do? Justice must judge. Justice must condemn. So, at various times throughout history, by various individuals, and in all kinds of different ways, people have set up their own system by which they can come out from under that obligation to justice. And it's always a work system. If I do this, then I won't be condemned by God. If I do this, then he will accept me. If I do that, he'll see me as righteous. So what Paul's saying here is the one who places himself under a work system. That's represented in the phrase, now to the one who works. Okay? His wage. His payment. What he gets from God is not calculated, measured, reckoned as a favor. All right? The phrase as a favor is two words in the Greek, katachares. Anyone remember what kata means? According to. Everyone knows what charis is by now, don't you? Grace. So, according to grace. Grace means what God does without strings attached. Grace is God providing us something because of his character, because of who he is. Basically, from the beginning, after Adam's sin, God said, I am going to grace you. I'm going to give you the solution to your sinfulness by sending a Savior. There are no strings attached. You don't have to work for it. You won't earn it. All you have to do is accept it. All you have to do is trust the messianic promise. This is grace. And according to this principle of grace, the debt that you owe me will be canceled. And this is how people were saved all throughout the Old Testament. They put their trust in the promise that God had made of the coming of the Messiah, who would be the sin bearer. And so they put their trust in that promise. They could not trust in Jesus. He hadn't shown up yet. But they put their trust in the promise. But if someone does not do that, but instead places himself in a work system, then what does he get from God? His wage is reckoned, calculated. The word is logizomai, logizomai, as a present passive indicative. Logizomai means to evaluate and then make a ruling based on that evaluation. In this case, the ruling is how God is going to view you. What is God going to assign to you based on his evaluation? What kind of wage are you going to get from God? Well, you have a negative here. His wage is not calculated. Therefore, it's not assigned according to grace. Why? Because when you place yourself under a work system, you take yourself out from under grace. Whether you even know it or not, you've taken yourself out from under grace. You cannot benefit from God's grace as long as you remain in that work system. There is no other sacrifice for sins. There is no other provision. There's nothing else God has done. He's not going to change his mind. He's not going to say, oh, for you, since your works are exceptional, I will accept you. His wage is not reckoned according to grace, but according to ophelema, kata, O-P-H-E-L-E-I-M-A, long A, ophelema, once again, O-P-H-E-L-E-I-M, long A. Now, what this word means is debt, and you have kata in front of it, so it's kata charis versus kata ophelema. Those are the two options. You're going to relate to God on one or the other. You can relate to him, kata grace, kata charis, according to grace, and receive benefit from him. Or you can relate to him according to works and be paid, be recompensed, be compensated, kata ophelema. Ophelema means debt or what is owed. So if you place yourself under a work system, then God is going to reckon your wage according to what is owed. What is owed? Judgment. Lake of fire. So that's automatic. You place yourself under any kind of work system. Automatically, you take yourself out from under the grace system and put yourself under the system of obligation. In other words, no change, right? You were born obligated to God's justice. You place yourself under a work system, you remain obligated to God's justice. You still owe him. Nothing was changed. Because you can't pay the debt. Basically, what do you owe God? What does God want to see in you? What's the only thing that can be in you that God will accept? Righteousness. He's got to see righteousness in you. And so you place yourself under a work system and you perform all this righteousness that comes from your work system, and God looks at it according to Isaiah 64:6, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So I owe God. I'm in debt to God because I have unrighteousness in me. I'm an enemy of God. I'm separated from God. And because of that, justice must punish me and send me to the lake of fire. How can I escape that? I'm under a debt. If I place myself under a work system, then all that I receive is a confirmation of the debt that I am under. It's reckoned to me according to debt.
You're still under debt. You haven't changed a thing. Oh, yeah, there's a whole bunch of righteousness here, but it smells. It's not acceptable to me. Verse 5. But to the one who does not work. So this one does not put himself under a work system, but does what? Believes in him who gives righteousness to the ungodly. Now, who's the one who gives righteousness? That's God the Father. That him there is God the Father. He's the one who accomplishes the plan of salvation and the assignment of salvation when someone does what? Believes. So there are the two choices here. You can place yourself under a work system, or you can place yourself under a faith system. So verse 5, but to the one who does not place himself under a work system, but places himself under the system of faith, but believes in him. And this faith is directed toward God the Father as the source of the plan. Faith in God the Father is not the only thing that will save you. You also have to have faith in the plan that comes from the Father, and that revolves around Jesus Christ. But believes in him, the Father, who gives righteousness. There's that word justify. Who assigns righteousness to the ungodly. Ungodly summarizes the spiritual condition of every member of the human race. The word is asebes. A-S-E-B, long A-S. We've been working on that word group, remember? Eusebia. This is the word group, only has a negative in front of it, so it means unworshipful. It means in a negative attitude toward God, not interested in worshiping him. And ungodly is an unfortunate translation again, what you're going to see in almost every translation. But it's better to render it as unworshipping. But believes in him who justifies the ones who are unworshipping. That person's faith, his faith, is calculated, reckoned, assigned, there's that same word again, as what? Righteousness. So you realize now, I don't want to be redundant here and beat it into the ground too much, but I'm born in sin. This is sin nature. I'm born unrighteous. Anything I do in life is basically going to be human good. It may be morally good, but as far as God is concerned, it is unrighteousness. And he looks at it from the standpoint of relating to himself, and he says, it stinks. So I'm aware that there's a God, and I want relationship with him. So what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to check around the neighborhood and see what kind of systems are out there for getting close to God. And I'm going to latch on to one of them. And there's only two categories of system. There's the work system and there's the faith system. Under the work system, there's a whole bunch of different ways to go. Under the faith system, there's only one way to go. So I'm going to express my interest in God by, checking things out. How do I want to do this? What am I going to put myself under? If I put myself under a work system, then I am clinging to my own righteousness. I am depending on my own righteousness to make me acceptable to God. And God looks at it and says, stinks. So that fails. But the one who says, oh, I'm going to accept this faith system. I'm going to trust in Jesus. And then God says, all right, you're righteous. I just now made you righteous. Just by that very act of faith, that simple act of faith, you're righteous. That's it. And since you're righteous, I have no cause to judge you. Well, what if I go out tomorrow and sin? That's what this whole passage, that's what this whole study in Romans 8 is about. Because no matter what you do after you make that decision to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has already declared you as righteous. You are righteous. Now, you may not live righteously. You are going to sin. God knows you're going to sin. In fact, that's why he declares you righteous and makes it a permanent setup. Because he knows you are functionally still going to sin. Because you have a sin nature. He doesn't remove that from you. And if it depended on our works either to get us saved or to keep us saved, nobody could be saved. Nobody. Because anything we do will never, ever meet up to the standard of God's righteousness. It will always stink. Okay, down to verses 22 through 25. Therefore, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was reckoned to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be reckoned. And what's the it there? Righteousness. To whom it, righteousness, will be reckoned, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. There's the object of our faith. The object of our faith is the Father, him, and the person of Jesus Christ who was raised from the dead. Both factors are mentioned in that statement. So basically, when it's raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, notice it's Jesus, it's our Lord. That covers all the various issues of the gospel. Who Jesus is, what he did, why he needed to be raised from the dead? Well, he died. And then it takes us back to the cross. Verse 25. Who, referring to Jesus, was delivered up because of our transgressions. That's why he went to the cross. Because of our sins. And was raised because of our justification. Because of our justification means he was raised because the plan of salvation was now accomplished and righteousness was now available to those who would believe. And to prove this, Jesus was raised from the dead. Okay, chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, having been what? Declared righteous by faith. The word is the verb dikaiō. We've seen it. Okay, if you were here last week, you saw it. I didn't put it up here tonight. Here's what it looks like. Dikaiō. That's the verb dikaiō. It is an aorist passive participle. The aorist tense refers to a specific point of time. Rather than continuous action, aorist tense is happens, boom, in a point of time. It's a participle, so it's having been, or having, and then passive. The subject receives the action. Well, who's the subject here? The subject is us. We. Okay? So we receive something. Having been justified. That communicates that we received it. It communicates that something that happened at a point of time, having been accomplished already. And then the word justified means declared righteous. Having been declared righteous, and what? How was this brought about? By faith. The word by, it's a little bit more, well, I don't know if it can be more strong than by, but the preposition is ek, ek. And literally it means out from. Okay? So, our justification is out from faith. We do the faith, and out from that expression of faith comes justification, comes being declared righteous. Okay, therefore, having been declared righteous by or out from faith, what's the result? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone's born into the world as an enemy of God, right? No peace. Unrighteous. For us to have eternal life, or everlasting life, for us to share God's life, there has to be a removal of that enmity. There has to be a removal of that thing that comes between us and God. That would be peace, right? If that's removed, then we have peace with God. What needs to be removed? Unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is removed by being replaced with righteousness. So having been made righteous, we have peace with God now. And of course, it's by faith. So this is not every member of the human race. It's only those who believe in Jesus. And as we saw at the first part of Romans 4, there are many of those who try to put themselves under a work system and try to gain this peace with God, this removal of the enmity between him and God, by works. Okay. That we're going to be looking more at Romans 5 at another time. In fact, now let's go ahead and look at it now. 5:6-11. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the unworshiping. There's asebes again. Christ died for those who didn't want anything to do with God. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would even dare to die from a human standpoint. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been made righteous by his blood, reference to the spiritual death of Christ on the cross, we've been through this before, the fact that he died for our sins, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. What is it that saves us from the wrath of God? Righteousness. Okay? Being declared righteous. Verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled. You know what reconciled means, don't you? It means brought together. Here's two parties at enmity with one another. You reconcile, you bring them together, and now there is what between them? Peace. So the peace with God up in verse 1 is the same concept as reconciled in verse 10. And if we are reconciled, then won't that mean salvation? God's not going to condemn someone who's reconciled to him. So let's continue with verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So once we're reconciled to God, once that enmity is gone, what do we get? Saved. And it's one point at a time. This all happens at the same time, same point of time. But there is a logical order to it. Verse 11. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the status of reconciliation. Now, see, all this is talking about being saved, being reconciled, saved from the wrath of God at the end of verse 9, saved by his life, verse 10. All of these things are the basis for the statement at Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation, why? Because we have righteousness, because we've been reconciled, because we have peace with God, because we've been saved by his life, because we've been saved from the wrath of God. So all of those things added together, what? No condemnation. That's the basis for that therefore. That's why we're backing up, see? You can't just start at Romans 8:1 and just skip that therefore. You've got to understand the basis for the therefore. You've got to understand the basis for the statement, no condemnation. All right, chapter 6. Verse 17. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves to the sin, when you have the definite article, that means it's referring to the sin nature. Though you were slaves to the slaves of the sin nature, you obeyed rather than became obedient. Just better, just say obeyed. You obeyed from the heart that form of teaching to which you were committed. Actually, the idea of committed is exposed. That's a reference to the gospel. Even though you were slaves to the sin, you obeyed from the heart Wow. Calvin just got smashed all to pieces. Never realized that before. Sorry for the interruption. Yeah. Gotta remember that one. Alright, sorry. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of the sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of teaching to which you were exposed, and having been freed from sin, from the sin, you became slaves to righteousness. Verse 22. But now, having been freed from the sin, freed from the sin nature, and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. By the way, as I was talking...